Centuries ago, the Apostle Paul was in prison. We didn't know whether he was going to live or die. Writing to the Philippians, he said, "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death." All this week here on Renewal, we've been sharing a 21st century story that certainly illustrates Paul's attitude when he faced potential death in the first century. You'll want to stay with us to hear the next installment in this story. And if you do, your heart will be challenged and encouraged. Here now is our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. I have in my hands here a statement that was made at a memorial service, which reads as follows. Jason and Lindsay were two people who loved the Lord. They were passionate for Christ. They loved their families, their friends, their church families, and they loved people who were hurting and who needed the healing grace of God applied to their hearts. Jason was passionate about sharing his saving faith. It was a simple yet vibrant faith that simplified his life, and he was passionate about sharing that faith. And Lindsay was passionate about sharing her caring heart. She had a heart full of love, and she was passionate about sharing her heart. Well, we're talking about two young people, Lindsay and Jason, who are now with the Lord Jesus Christ, who experienced death in a very tragic way. I'm talking with Lindsay's parents today, Chris Cutchell and Kathy. Chris, this describes maybe one of the reasons why some evil person may have killed them there on that beach as they were sleeping in their separate sleeping bags, looking forward to getting married in about a week. That's part of the theory, is it not, that maybe they simply shared faith with someone and it irritated them, angered them? Or
yes, Gene, that is a real possibility that that's exactly what happened. They wore their faith on their sleeves, so to speak, and they were very open about their faith, and yet never ramming it down anyone's throat, but with real integrity and confidence in Christ. They weren't ashamed of Christ and weren't afraid to share their faith. So if someone approached them and maybe engaged them in a conversation, we wouldn't be surprised if Lindsay and Jason both openly talked about Christ to that person, perhaps even asked them about their relationship with Christ. And so that's a real possibility that occurred.
Now, they were ready. That's one of the points that you make. And I know, Kathy, that your daughter, Lindsay, talked about heaven. You know, they were very active people when it came to things they loved to do, white water rafting, which can be a bit dangerous, rock climbing, doing all of those things, and made you a little nervous. And I know you talked with Lindsay about that, but she had an interesting view of eternity, and not that she was careless, but she said some rather reassuring words to you.
Yes, she did. She was very wise for her years. I remember right before she went to California, and I was helping her pack, and I said, "Oh, Lindsay, all this whitewater rafting and climbing and stuff, what if something happened? What would I do without my Lindsay?" And she looked right at me as sure as she could, and she said, "But, Mom, you know where I'd be at. You know where I'd be." And it was just like she was going next door. She had such a close relationship with Jesus. I know a couple weeks before this happened, Jason had a climbing accident. In fact, it was really quite remarkable that he didn't get hurt worse than he was or even killed. And the kids took us out to see it, the other campers, when we got to California after we knew what had happened. And it dawned on me right then, you know, well, it wasn't Jason's time. It was he wanted to take both Lindsay and Jason together, and he wanted their story to be told together. And it just was so real to me then.
Chris, you gave a series of points in the memorial service that you were convinced of, and this happens to be the fourth point. You say that God is good. That was one of the reassuring things that came to you. And by the way, that's a tough statement for some people to understand. How could a loving God really allow this kind of thing? And you go on to talk about the fact that we simply live in a fallen world, and certainly this was a very evil, evil act.
Yes.
And we do pray that this person will come to justice. Bad things happen to people, including God's people, and You say we're not immune to tribulation, but since God is a sovereign God, he can use evil for good. Now, that's something that's hard to get a hold of, but the sovereignty of God at this point in your life became a very real reassuring thing.
That's correct, Gene. And in fact, I raised both of my daughters, Lindsay and Carrie. Our oldest is Carrie, and we raised them both, you know, just making that point that God is sovereign. He's in control. And that God causes all things to work together for good. Those who love him are called according to his purpose. And so God's sovereignty has always been real to us, never more real than now. But that is one of the great things, our faith in God, our faith in God's sovereignty that has gotten us through this thing. It is hard for people to understand. How can God be good if he allows something like this to happen? That's looking at life from a purely human perspective. But when you look at life from an eternal perspective, from God's perspective, then you begin to understand that this life on earth is just preparation for life to come. And so we are looking at life now from that eternal perspective, understanding that it's all about God and it's all about his plans and purposes, which include some very tragic things in life. And this tragedy that came to our lives, God is now using for good. And we see that in so many ways. And we're very grateful to God for allowing us to see how he's been glorified through this and how God is using Lindsay and Jason's lives, deaths, and resurrections to transform people and to glorify Christ. So we're very grateful for that.
Kathy, of course, Chris was speaking for both of you in that memorial service, but he gave this point. He said, as Christian parents who adore their children, and you certainly adored your daughter and
yes.
your son-in-law-to-be,
yes.
but as parents who adore their children and you deeply grieve,
oh my,
this is a great loss. But you said we are satisfied in Christ, and then you say life is hard, but God is good.
That's so true.
Comment on that.
Well, I'm just so thankful that this is not our heaven, that this is not it. And if we look at it that way, then we're sure looking at everything from the wrong perspective. But we have a heaven. We have a great hope. We have eternity with Jesus to look forward to. And that's what we have to keep our focus on. And we have a job to do. Lindsay and Jason's job on earth is done. But ours is not. And if we can tell their story to glorify Christ, then we'll do it until we're 80 or 90 or 100. But we hope the Lord takes us home before that. We're pretty homesick for heaven. And it's very difficult. But it's all about Jesus, and it's not about us. And eternity is eternity in heaven. This life is but a breath, thank goodness.
Well, today I've been talking with Chris and Kathy Cutchell. They've been my special guests all this week, telling the story of the death of their daughter, Lindsay, their son-in-law-to-be, Jason, both taken out of this life, a tragic murder, and yet you've heard them share today how in the midst of this evil, they are already seeing God work some of these things together for good. You'll want to join us again tomorrow as we talk about that great verse in the book of Romans that we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Renewal. On one hand, we shared a tragic event. On the other hand, we've heard how Christians can experience unusual comfort in the midst of tragedy that is definitely related to God's supernatural grace. Well, Gene, we've got to be honest about these situations. It's never easy, and sometimes scars remain.
Well, that's right, Alan, and there are certain situations that do linger, and the pain lingers and lingers. You know, death varies with individuals, and if someone has lived a good, wonderful, full life, like my dear mother, who went home to be with the Lord when she was 98 years old, 98, can you believe that? Or like my wife's mother, she lived to be 95. She had aunts who lived to be 100. And they went home to be with the Lord after a full life here on earth. Well, you prepare yourself for that because we know we're born to die. Eventually we will die. It's never easy. There's always grief and hurt. I remember when my daddy went home to be with the Lord. He was 78 years old, and when I first saw him, yes, I did grieve, but I didn't grieve like those who have no hope. But what if someone is taken in the prime of life, an accident or a tragedy like we've seen here, a tragedy that was born out of evil intentions? Well, there's going to be grief, but the grief is going to be more significant. There's going to be shock initially. We know what the stages of grief are. There's going to be anger, and anyone who doesn't get angry at this kind of situation probably isn't facing reality. This was such an evil deed. And in process, you realize that you've got to forgive. You've got to forgive the individual who created this kind of situation, whether it's a drunken driver who has taken out innocent lives, or whether it's an evil person like whoever pulled that trigger there on that beach that night. We've got to forgive. And then the healing process begins. And you know the difference for people who go through that process, whether it's something that we expect or something that happens suddenly. What makes the real difference is our hope in Jesus Christ. And as we've talked with Lindsay's parents, Chris and Kathy, one thing that comes through loud and clear from their testimony and their life, as well as Jason's parents, is that they had hope in Jesus Christ. Well, there's a book that meant a lot to them during this crisis. It's entitled 1 Minute After You Die, written by Erwin Lutzer. We're making it available all this week here in Renewal. It's available for a donation of $12 or more to the Ministry of Renewal. You can contact us here at 1-800-RENEWAL. That's 1-800-RENEWAL. That's our toll-free line. Or you can log on to our website, renewalradio.org, renewalradio.org. Or you can write us simply by addressing your envelope to Box 2400, Dallas 75221. If you wish, put a check in the mail, and we'll send you this book entitled 1 Minute After You Die. Hope we'll hear from you today. Stay with us, because here's our announcer to repeat our contact information.
Thank you, Gene. Once again, our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll-free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can find us on the web at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. And our mailing address is Renewal, Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Once again, that's Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. We hope to hear from you today.